Season 3, Episode 3, One Big Happy Family, opens up with a couple of detectives visiting the hospital. It looks like Lesniak and Medavoy. They're going to see a gentleman who was shot in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you noticed, but that gentleman is a famous face. A guy that's been in a bunch of different shit.
Who?
It's a guy named John Polito. He actually died recently.
Polito.
He was the character. Oh. He was a character actor. He was the guy in The Big Lebowski, who was a brother. Oh. Brother Seamus.
He's in a lot of Coen Brothers movies. He was in. He was in Miller's Crossing too. He was good in that.
And Barton Fink.
Yeah, he was really good in Barton Fink.
Yeah. He, according to IMDb, he was in like over 100 movies, and he has one of those faces that you recognize like immediately. And he always does a really good job. And he does a good job in this episode, even though he's like a dude with his mouth wired shut. He does pretty much kill it.
Yeah, that is him.
As it turns out, he is shot in the face, and his mouth was already wired, which may have helped him, because someone tried to hit him in the face, tried to kill him with a baseball bat to the face.
Beforehand, yeah.
And
then don't they go, like, why didn't you report it?
And he said he doesn't have any enemies in the world.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's what he writes down on the pad because he can't speak. He's like, I don't have any enemies in the world. And then even
but his brother, boy, his brother's there, right?
He's not there in the first one. He's in there in the second one.
That's right.
The only other important thing about this intro is Medavoy keeps mentioning to Lesniak about how great it was that she helped Martinez out.
Oh my god!
With the soup.
Oh my god, Kirk.
A little bit too much.
He won't. Like, he goes talking about her fucking soup, and how her soup is, like, brings people back from the dead and shit, and he's just, like, he does a great job of being, like,
the most annoying person.
Right, yeah, he does a great job. Like, I sit back and think about it now, he's just acting, that's why I hate him, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's great in fucking Deadwood, he plays a cool dude in Deadwood. I rewatched those episodes, he's different in it, but he's cool. It's just in here, I guess he's playing like a whiny dude. Like, ugh. Like, this is what lost you fucking Abundando.
The soup talk?
Like, no, just being like a little whiny bitch. Like, I don't know. Anyways, moving on.
Before we continue, this is season 3, episode 3 of NYPD Blue Balls.
I actually really like this episode.
It's funny you say you like this episode because our contributor Chris Blank and stuff on Twitter, he sent me a lot regarding this episode about how much it's a least favorite episode.
Well, why? What are his reasons why? I want to talk about why this is my favorite, and then you can talk about why that guy doesn't like it.
All right, go first.
Why it's one of his least favorites. I like the story of it. I think it's interesting. It's not like them being handed a case, it's more of like they were doing their job, they were helping Diane and Lesniak with their case in the beginning, and then they see the guy, and Sipowicz goes, oh shit, or Simone, they both kind of look at each other and go, hey, doesn't that guy kind of give you doesn't he match the perp of these couple of rapes that we had from like past? So mm-hmm. They're not really getting a case, they're solving an older case. Like that, I enjoy that part of the story. And then they have to kind of build a case that way. And then they kind of, like, hold him and they question him. Like, I like that. I think the guy who plays the crazy rapist is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does a good job acting. I really like how he plays off Sipowicz and Simone. And especially later on when Simone's, like, about to beat his ass in the, like, all up and down. Mm-hmm. But I think that I like that of that. I think, like, there's some other things that are dumb about it, but also the smaller story is really cool, too. It's just stupid because I think doesn't Lesniak say she's gay in this one?
Yeah, well, the reason Chris doesn't like this episode, well, I'll start with the reason I agree with Chris. One of the things I agree with Chris on. Chris was mentioning that the situation with Diane's family is, like, poorly acted and set up. Like, it almost doesn't seem real, and it seems like the mother is, like, extra dumb and stupid, and...
I forgot about that story. I ignored that story. I ignored it because I just like the case parts. I like the two cases so much. that I, like, ignored that part.
Because
but it helps. But the thing is you need that story to, not to spoil it, set up a story that happens later on that's actually interesting, that I liked. I like that we'll find out later.
We find out in the next episode, I think, if what we're talking about is the same thing.
Okay, her mom's in other things that I've seen, mm-hmm. and she was in better than those.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad is, like, the biggest fucking dick.
Yeah, completely.
Like, oh my god, like, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, because he's, like, from that time, but, like, oh my god, he was just a dick.
To clarify a little bit, I mean, no thanks to Hulu, the show is not up yet. Which I tweeted at them and they said, oh, we're not sure. They actually tweeted back and like, we're not sure, but we'll let you know as soon as possible. And it's going to be like, hey, guys, like, worry less about Empire and these shitty reality shows and worry more about getting the blue on your fucking service.
I get what you're saying. Like, I'm totally on your side. Like, this is getting fucking ridiculous. But,
you bought NYPD Blue, put it on the service. Where's MASH? And it honestly is, people don't care about the show as much as we do. So they're like, oh, well, nobody cares.
I just think there's not enough people who care about the show. Enough for them to be like, yeah, I'm going to do, oh, yeah, we're going to go above and beyond for them. You know what I mean?
we're not gleeks. Oh, yeah, we're not gleeks. We're NYPD Blueheads. We care about Sipowitz. And, anyway, because we wanted to kind of separate ourselves from the format where we just go over the show like beat by beat, but there's three important storylines going on here. One is the case where, like you said, and that's one of the things that Chris hated. He hates that they just walk into the station house and then Silky is there with this guy who bounced a bad check, and that guy is their rapist suspect. They bring him up to the station and try and keep him sat and, like, comfortable so they can try and get somebody to ID him. And they can't get anybody quickly, so then the guy gets a little antsy, and then he gets out.
I get that.
And he doesn't like how it's so, like, oh, so convenient for everybody. Also, he also hates that rapist, continuing on with the story, then intimidates witnesses and rapes more women. Like, he didn't... Like, he wasn't...
He rapes the wrong woman because he got the apartment wrong.
Yeah, second, yeah.
I agree that it's a big coincidence, but at the same time, I think you both are looking at this at too grand of a scale. It's a TV show. So, they got it. They can't just, like, always be, like, yeah, I know you're always going to catch a case. I get it. But it's like, once in a while, it's good to see, like, there's a different side. Okay, maybe they could have fucking been, like, at a McDonald's, like, in a different part of town or something. I get that. But, I mean, it changed it up, and it, like, I don't know, I enjoyed it. I get it, though, I understand, but at the same time, it's not real life. Like, I get, like, how a rapist being in a police station probably doesn't happen all the time, you know, mm-hmm. like, trying to work out a beef. But for the point of the show, I think it just gives it a different dynamic, that's all. But I get it. I understand.
The second storyline that's going on right now is what opens the show, which is a gentleman who was shot at, and they work it out that it's actually his wife trying to get him killed because an ex-con contacts Sipowitz.
Yeah.
And says this woman.
I like that scene, too. I thought that scene was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Sipowitz gave this man another chance.
This is another thing I don't agree with Chris on at all, because Chris was like, wouldn't this guy be in trouble for not reporting the solicitation instead of telling Sipowitz about it? And to that, I'm like, look, man, I don't speak for criminals. I've never been arrested. But the last thing you want to do, if you've been to jail and have a record, is to go into a police station and say, hey man, someone tried to solicit me for a murder, especially if that is a woman who probably has better social standing than you, and then she can turn it around you and put you in a jam.
No, I get that. So, that's why I think it was smart that he told Sipowitz.
Because Sipowitz he trusts.
In a weird way. Sipowitz they have a mutual trust there, but I don't know what his beef is with that. I'm not trying to sound, like, angry. I just, I,
you don't
disagree about the scene.
And during that storyline is when the thing happens that we mentioned earlier. First, James Martinez comes in for like half a day and then leaves because he's like not feeling it. Like, that's almost exactly what he says. He's like, I'm just not feeling it. So
that was really weird.
And,
but to say that, like, after all of that, for him to just straight up be like, yeah, not feeling it. Just not feeling it today.
Of course, yeah.
Like, no offense, you just had a really long time off. If you weren't ready, then don't come back. You know what I mean?
And if you were, it is a little different being shot. Like, I've never been shot. I don't know what the recovery process is. But I can't imagine that, like, I don't know. I mean, when you've been shot in the line of duty, I'm sure they pretty much say you can leave whenever you want to if you're not feeling it. But it was weird that they were like, hey, do you want to call someone? And he's like, no, I'm not feeling work today. It wasn't like, hey, you want to go run around and do interviews outside? Do you want to go down here? Do you want to do that? It was, hey, you've been sitting at a desk today getting a bunch of welcome back pats, but could you call someone? And then he's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, it was that, like, just to be nitpicky, but I feel like there's a better way to basically, because doesn't, like, later on Lesniak, they, like, don't they meet up?
I don't think they do. The only thing I know for sure is that as he's leaving, he's like, I'll heat up some of that soup. That's only fuel for Medavoy, who hasn't been, hasn't not been talking about this soup every 5 minutes. Like, every chance he gets, he's been like, oh, yeah, well, you know, James is back because of Lesniak soup. I mean, without her soup, he would be out in
Goddamn, man.
And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. And this case is when they're in a surveillance van putting a sting on the wife. Greg, who is, like, the most annoying child in the world, is like, oh, so you and James, huh? So, like, you and James, like, together, like, you and James. And she just straight up is like, we're only going to be friends. That's how it's going to be. And then he continues with it. And then she's just like, I'm gay.
Yeah. She hits him with the gay. It's just weird.
And what's also, like, because we know in the future that maybe that's not technically true. And she only said it to get him off of her back, which is a fucked up thing to do. But in the car, he's like, well, I've never seen you with women. And he's and it's like, who the fuck cares? Like, it's like, why do you have to give her a goddamn interrogation because she told you something that you don't think is true? Like, just let it fucking be.
Sorry, if I was there, I don't know if I would have believed it.
You think Lesniak is not a lesbian?
Well, no. I would not have believed it if she told me. She had a husband, basically, right? Or a fiance?
She had a boyfriend. But, you know, gay people, you know, sometimes they participate in heterosexual activities.
No, I agree they're with in that, the closet. Like, at the same time, there's never once been talk, or she's never once talked about, like, oh, I mean, I guess at that time, can't really do that.
Yeah. So it makes sense. The thing that, I mean, I wouldn't expect Medavoy to be this progressive, to be like, okay, well, you've made a decision, I'm gonna drop it. But, like, the idea that he's like, are you sure? Are you sure you're gay? And he does it, like, a bunch of times. Like, dude, fucking let off, bro.
I agree.
And the, like, the end of the episode with Medavoy is him telling James, like, hey, she's gay. And the next time James sees her, he says, so you're gay now. Which seems like...
yeah.
Like, that's like, seems like.
Doesn't she say maybe? I don't know.
No, she doesn't. He walks by her and he's like, look, Medavoy hit me to the situation and, so you're gay now? And she's like, yeah.
So sensitive.
She goes like, yeah. And then he's like, is it anybody I know? And she just says no. And it's like, I don't know. I've been doing this all day. I'm not a homosexual, but I don't understand why you have to ask that question.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it either. It's really weird. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It was a different time. It was the 90s. It was like the mid-90s or early 90s.
But the rapist guy...
Oh, the rapist.
He is an actor. I lost his name. But he
was I got it right here.
Movie Going Clear.
He was in what movie Going Clear?
He was in the documentary Going Clear.
Really?
Yeah, the guy who had, like, the really raspy voice who's, like, an actor who left Scientology and, like, talked about, like, all the crazies, this crazy shit. It really rats me by Susan going clear.
Are you sure?
100%, man.
Because the person you're talking about, the rapist, was named Jason Beggy? Or Beggy?
Yeah, he's also in, like, Chicago Fire and shit.
Yeah, he's in that. But the reason I know him is because he's in the movie Monkey Shines, which he was acting up a storm in that terrible, terrible movie.
Well, he acts up a storm in this. But he's also going clear, 100%.
I'm going to check that right now because I don't think you're right.
I have IMDb open. I'm already proving you wrong.
Okay, well, I have it too. I'm not seeing going clear.
Damn it. This motherfucker's going clear.
Going clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief. Okay, apparently maybe he is in it.
Oh, wait, what was that? You can go fuck yourself? Is that what I heard? I think I just heard Kurt can go fuck himself. I think that's what I just heard. Oh, okay, cool. Moving on.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I remember him in,
You don't think I come prepared, bitch?
No, I don't.
He was in Chicago PD, Fire, and Justice, and Chicago Med. There are four Chicago put in whatever shitty job you want to work.
Kyle, the Chicago television universe is a lot like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they share characters and jump over to different locations in Chicago. The third storyline is...
Dude, real quick, he was also in the hit classic G.I. Jane. Just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. How could I have possibly missed G.I. Jane? The third storyline is Diane, who is dealing with her dad, who had a drunken rampage against his wife in a public place. She pays off the bar and makes her dad take classes. And you find out very quickly that her home life is pretty garbage. You also find out that she has a brother who is an adult man that she calls Dougie, which, once you're an adult, you get stopped called Dougie. That's how it works.
That's like me calling you Kirky.
Yeah,
now.
You don't do that, because we're adults.
Oh my god, I am doing that forever.
Because, like, he visits her at the station to remind you that that plot is happening. And he's like, yeah, mom, blah, 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 and dad, and whatever. And you find out that he's just verbally abused by his dad, but he goes over there every day. To which I ask, why go over there every day? Just don't. You don't have to.
But he doesn't seem to have a lot of friends either.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where's he living, number one, in New York around that time? Like, it's not cheap. And his dad's making fun of him because he only works at, like, he's like a stock boy, basically. And it's like, bitch, at least he's got a job.
Yeah, his job isn't bitching about everybody else's decisions in life. And also, like, because
he also, in this episode, makes fun of the goddamn magazines, right?
Yeah, he's like, there's too many subscriptions.
It's like, motherfucker, she's working.
Is the mom working? I don't know if the mom is actually working.
He's not working because he has to look for jobs. I'm assuming she works.
I know that. All I know is that she takes bottles down to the place and he doesn't like it because then the hobos get them to sell for crack or to commit crimes. An actual line of dialogue.
That is the weirdest thing to care about.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy to go get money for it, why the fuck do I care if a homeless guy's gonna get it for crack? Good for him.
Yeah, congrats. You're
I have to take my bottles, but I don't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, to each their own. Who gives, like, it's just the weirdest thing to get angry at your wife about. Like,
yeah.
He's angry at his wife for doing this, like, evil deed, basically, and it's like, what? It's so weird. It's just funny to me.
But Doug shows up, because I refuse to call him Dougie, Doug shows up to the precinct, and he's like, hey, Diane, blah, 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 and he's like, she's like, you just need some self-confidence, Dougie, and I was like, well, first, stop calling him fucking Dougie, call him Doug, or Douglas, a person's
name. Well, she calls him Dougie and, like, rubs the top of his head like he's a fucking puppy, too.
And it's like, dude, no wonder he works as a stock boy. They keep calling him his, like, 12-year-old nickname. Like, get your shit together. But yeah, that basically ends with... we'll save that because that's the whole crux of the end of the episode. The rapist thing, it turns out he goes to intimidate one of his old witnesses. It's the wrong woman because it's the wrong building.
And it's cool how Sibowitz and Andy come up with that, how they're like in it and they're like, doesn't this like, and they're like, oh shit, like this is like a block over, like blah, blah, blah. And they like, I think that's really cool in this episode. That's also something that I think that gets underplayed.
And I think the guy that played that girl's boyfriend, because the whole idea is that the woman, this guy's MO is, he comes in pretending that he has a package that you have to sign for. So you open the door, then he comes in, locks the door, and then he gets to the raping. But in this story with the wrong woman, she's on the phone with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend recounts the story that, I was on the phone with her, I told her, hey, I gotta get back to work, don't let that guy in, because there's no way that they'd be delivering packages this late, so I won't get off the phone until you tell him to leave. And then he gets off the phone, then rushes over to see if she gets to work in the morning, because he called and she didn't make it, and she's dead, and he's blaming himself. And I thought that dude did a great job.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job.
There's a lot of good things about this episode.
There's also bad things, like Metaboy
yeah,
and the family.
Yeah, there's some really dumb shit, like the, I'm gay, and you're like, oh, you're gay now? It's like, oh my god.
Oh man, get some tact, bro.
I just, like, I don't understand. What am I missing with Lesniak?
What do you mean, what are you missing with Lesniak?
Like, why, like, what am I missing for James to be like, that's a girl I want to ask out on a date?
You're trying to, you want to know what the it factor is? You want to
like,
know what?
No, like, I understand that, like, I mean, I understand it's like to each their own, but like, what is it? Like, she seems really boring. She's like got a real fucked up past, abusive past. I don't know. She's just kind of weird and like bland. Like, what am I missing?
Also, she always, like, I've never really thought about it until you said this. Like, her outfits have never been like, well, this is a dumb, like, really dumb thing to neg, but it's like always been like a sport coat and like a sweater.
Maybe she is gay.
Maybe she is.
Maybe, like, that's like what Paula Poundstone was wearing when she was doing comedy in those times.
When what Paula Poundstone was pounding there on the stage, those suit jackets.
Do you think Paula Poundstone, when she meets people, like, hey, I'll Paula Pound that pussy?
Moving on. Well, the rapists, what they do is they set up a sting operation. he can't even get past it. He's so proud of himself. So proud of himself.
As soon as I thought of it, I like couldn't say it fast enough. Like the words had left my mouth yet, but in my brain I was dying. I was like, "Oh, this is fucking awesome." Sorry. Anyways, moving on.
Oh man. So they set up on the right woman's house after she identifies him as the rapist. They set
yes,
up
they
on her,
and they
on
scared
her
the shit out of her too, which is awesome. They're like, basically barging around, like, we need to take this over. And she's like, why? He's like, your rapist is coming back. You gotta get out of here. She's like, what the fuck? Like, scare the living shit out of this woman who's been raped once before.
Also, like,
it's not funny. But it's funny.
Also, Sipowicz. And, well, Simone and Russell go over to her place to identify the guy, and she's like, okay, and he's like, we have to set up on your house because we think he's intimidating witnesses. And he's like, oh my god. And then Sipowicz pounds on her door, and this is a woman that a dude pounded on her door to get inside her house to rape her. And Sipowicz, like, walks in and is like, 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 okay, maybe lightly tap and say,
like, let's give her some PTSD of that rape. On shit.
Hi, Sipowicz here for some PTSD you ordered.
I get it though. There's sometimes when I'm at work and it's like, fuck it, you like I can't explain to you and I can't be nice. I just have to. This is what we're doing. Let's go. Like there's not enough time. Like I get it, but he could show a little bit of compassion to who you're basically telling a woman like, hey, your rapist is coming after you. Probably soon. Like, he could have been here already. But, hey, like, and then be, like, really rude to her about it. Like, it's just funny to me.
Also, didn't they tell her, like, oh, by the way, a woman, like, down the street in the similar building, she got raped and murdered, and we think he was coming for you.
This other bitch got killed. got raped and killed again, because it should be you, and it'll probably be you tonight.
Two things I wanted to say really quick, because we passed them in the episode. Diane has this, like, moment with Bobby, where she's calling her dad, and, like, they're like, oh, you know, families are tough, and blah, 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 and then she, like, turns around, and then she goes, make love to me, and then it's just her ass. Like,
that was weird, especially when you find out some things. It's weird. Think about it.
Yeah, I thought about it. It's a little weird.
It's weird.
Another funny thing, when they go to the homicide rape, Vince of the Night Watch got it. The same guy with the tit cut.
Oh my god, Vince.
And when
I love Vince.
And they get there and they're like, okay, what are the details? And then Vince tells them. And then Simone goes, okay, we got it from here. And Vince kind of gives this, like, we're out of here, boys. Like, he gives, like, this, like, fuck it, I'm done. Hands clean. Not my job anymore. And it was so
they go
fun.
To great lengths to explain that the Night Watch guys don't do shit.
Night Watch guys basically are just babysitters.
And then when you do have to work with a Night Watch guy, it's that one douche. Beats the fuck out of everyone and can't solve a case.
So they set up on this guy's, this woman's apartment, and they have Diane be the woman in question. And so the guy does the thing, he opens the door, he locks it, and then he straight up strangles on Diane, and Simone, like, roughs the shit out of him onto the couch.
Loses his shit.
Like, he loses it. He goes full Simone on this asshole. And then
my favorite line in that scene is when he goes, you want to lay hands on somebody? Lay hands on me!
My favorite...
Lay hands on me!
My favorite line is right after that. Sipowicz goes, this is going to be hard to believe, but I'm your best friend, so you better stay close to me. And then he goes, what did I do? And Simone goes, don't ask what you did!
Simone goes, like, crazy.
Their interrogations, the interrogation of the rapist is also one of, like, the coolest interrogations, I think, because they bring him out.
That's really good.
They bring him out, they, like, the guy is set up like a hard ass, like, I'm not gonna go for this, I want a lawyer, and then they go, hey, and then Sipowicz does this really great monologue, he's like, do you think we're dumb? Do you think we didn't put it together that you went to the wrong person's house? And the line, I'm here, I popped a chubby, I might as well rape her, and then you murdered her? Like,
yeah.
It was such a great scene, and then all they had to do was mention that he'll get the death penalty, and then he's like, what do I gotta do to not get the death penalty?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it.
You get it? You get it, do you?
I mean, I also feel like, but if you're like, New York hasn't put someone, like, I've been watching a lot of Law & Order. And so I'm getting the law side.
Oh, you're getting the law side, are you? You're getting all that law information from Law & Order
by Dick
Cole.
They mention, like, a lot of, like, random statistics. And, like, there's one thing in one episode where they're, like, trying to put somebody to death. New York hasn't put anyone to death since, like, 1945 or something like that. So I don't, like, death row in New York is, like, what is that? That's like, you may not die, you know what I mean? Like, you can appeal for a really long time.
They call it,
drag it out.
Yeah, they call it the slow death row.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But
nothing. So they caught that guy. They have to convince...
They kind of break him down. He, like, starts crying like a little girl.
Yeah, he's a good actor. I felt he was a good actor in Monkey Shines. The problem is that movie fucking sucks, and it's really stupid. But he does a really good job. The other case, the guy is basically told that his wife's trying to kill him, and he, like, kind of goes, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. And then his brother...
They show the video.
They show him they play him the tape, and they kind of leave it with his brother's gonna make him press charges and make sure that they stick and all that stuff. The episode ends after Diane has one more meeting with her family, where the dad has this big blowout about the bottles and the subscriptions. And
that ending is so bad. It's like a fucking... Like, I think it's just because of the way it's acted. Like, all four of them in a room are bad.
Yeah. And then
it just
Doug...
It felt like a soap opera.
Yeah, and then Doug comes in, and all he does is insult him, and then Doug just stands off in the corner like, why the fuck is he even here? Like, why did he even show up to this?
Yeah, like stop coming over. Like, just call your mom and be like, yeah, I'd hang out with you, but Dad's a dick.
the end of the episode is Diane is at a bar and she called Simone. Not Sipowicz, her sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Where she says, I've had two beers, I'm about to go to Boilermakers and I'd like to stop. Simone gets her and takes her out. And he even asks, did you call Sipowicz? And she says, I called who I wanted to. And that's how the episode ends.
Which is not good, because if you were thinking about it, she didn't really talk to Simone or hang out with him and wasn't drinking. And then, like, when she kind of starts to let Simone in, she starts drinking again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she needs to realize, like, maybe Simone's the problem.
Well, they've, like, we don't, I mean, this has been, what, 3 weeks into the season? So it's been 3 weeks of them together where they, where she wasn't drinking.
Yeah, that's true. That is
it's,
true.
It literally seems like, okay, well, then her family troubles will lead her to drink. But
yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense because when you, like, learn more, when we move on and learn more, we understand why it kind of leads her to drink.
I'm just looking through,
All right, but the most important question, I think the final question before we sign off.
Uh-huh, and that is?
That is, Russell with straight hair or curly hair?
I mean, are you asking me personally?
I'm just saying, yeah, when you saw it, like, when you saw her with straight hair, do you go, man, I wish she would do that more than that curly shit?
Kind of. Kind of.
I agree.
You would rather the straight than the curly?
Yeah.
Because there's that moment when they're on the couch in the Sting room, and Simone goes, you should do this more often. And she's like, what's wrong
with they're basically about to fuck each other, and it's like, Sipowicz is like holding the gun at the door, and they're about to like, she's about to give him a quick hand job before he goes inside.
Look, the hand job will be totally different when you have straight hair.
like, we fucking get it, Simone. Probably have a big dick and you're suave. We get it. Like, just do your job now.
I think that manifests more of our insecurities than anything else. Like, they can't even have a conversation where we're like, we get it, you're suave. You can have any woman in the department. Abundando was getting ready to get down to it. And until you were like, nah, no thanks. So, we like, come on. Just relax.
But, I mean, I like this episode. I think it's good.
It's good.
I got no qualms against it.
I don't like
seeing Silky again.
Yeah, seeing Silky was alright.
Mm-hmm.
It was also kind of funny how, because they try to keep the rapist up in the precinct, so they're like, how about this? How about we keep him until the check clears? And then Silky's like, oh man, good to see that you guys will go to bat for anybody in your district. And it was like, motherfucker, we're just using you. Get the hell out of here. And, like, we don't care about you. But
yeah.
Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBlizzPodcast.com or iTunes or Stitcher, where you find your podcasts. Hulu.
Did we forget anything?
I mean, I looked through my notes. I didn't see anything.
I didn't mean to cut you off about the Diane Russell thing. I mean, that doesn't have to. That did not have to be the last thing we talked about.
But I mean, that's the end of the episode, and it leads in perfectly to the next episode, which will be in 2 weeks. So, thank you for listening. Kyle, do you have anything you would like to say before we...
Yeah, you put up a post on Facebook I disagree with.
What was that?
About NYPD Blue, and you put hashtag when TV was good or something like that.
No,
and
I said,
just want to remind you, like just Breaking Bad.
It's a joke. The point is to get people to see the tweet and then disagree, and then they check out what I'm talking about, and then they see the show.
Fair enough.
It's like South Park. You put up something outrageous so that they come and watch, and then they actually learn something. Which is a good time to mention the first episode of season 21 of South Park came out, and it was pretty good. I dug it.
Yeah, I'll promote that. I like
South Park.
I like what those guys do, and I like their humor. I'll support them on everything. I think everyone should watch South Park.
Cool beans.
And you're all right. People can learn a lot from South Park.
It's a strange thing to say, but it's so true. Alright, later everybody.
thanks once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls on AstroBlizzPodcast.com or, you know, iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you listen. As of right now, which is editing time, the day before this episode came out, it is not on Hulu yet. NYPD Blue is not on Hulu to stream. We hope every day that it gets up there so we can enjoy it as easily as we do our other favorite shows. Also wanted to take a second to mention a specific thing that Chris sent in his message, because he sent a very long message about this episode, and he went into a lot of detail about why he didn't like it. There was no way I could get through the entire thing. But he did mention something I wanted to say on here. He mentions, which is true, that Lesniak says to him, "I only really like you as a friend, James." They were straight up together towards the end of season 2 when Andy was getting married. At least that's what it seemed like. But anyway, the most important thing that we got from Chris, he prefers straight-haired Russell to curly-haired Russell. Yeah.